You are tuned in to Copyright Chat. Copyright Chat is a podcast dedicated to discussing important copyright matters. Host Sarah Benson, the copyright librarian from the University of Illinois, converses with experts from across the globe to engage the public with rights issues relevant to their daily lives. So welcome. This is a live version of the podcast Copyright Chat with Sandra Enamel from Yale University Library. We are here and celebrating Fair Use Week.
Yay!
Welcome.
Da-da, da-da. That's the trumpet sounding.
Very exciting. It's the 10th anniversary of Fair Use Week. I'm super excited, and I'm even more jazzed because we have a pending Supreme Court case. Tell us what you think about it. What do you think about it?
All right. So the case is Warhol v. Goldsmith, and it is very exciting because, I mean, well, there's the thing of there being two artists, you know, who are they are pit against each other, and a third artist, you know, is the subject of the photograph, of which, you know, one of them, you know, made it. I think it's a really very beautiful photo of Prince, and then it became Andy Warhol treated series of photographs and paintings and whatever. The original photographer, Lynn Goldsmith, finds out that, you know, this image has been Warholized, basically, and you know, contacts the Warhol Foundation to say, this is my image. You did my image. What's going on? Nobody's asked for permission. Nobody has a license. And the Warhol Foundation says, this is fair use. Actually, we're going to go to court and get the court to say that it's fair use. We're just, you know, you go away. Goldsmith does not go away. And she, you know, pursues it. And now we're at the Supreme Court waiting to see, like, what the court is going to say about, is this fair use? You know, we heard, I think, in the hearing, the oral argument, we heard, transformative being tossed around. We heard questions about why this particular image, why didn't Warhol, you know, take his own image? Interestingly, you know, we don't hear anything about Vanity Fair, who they licensed the image and then they just gave it to Warhol and said, hey, do your thing with this. And they're not even mentioned anymore. I'm just like, so how does that work? Okay.
That's an interesting point, because they licensed it for the 1985 version. They knew they didn't have another license.
Right.
But, you know, we know why, right? It's the deep pockets, and they're going for the deep pocket.
Right. Who has the deep pocket? Right. Yeah.
And Warhol made all the money off of it, right? Not Vanity Fair.
Warhol made all the money. Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah. So, you know, I still, like, am not even sure how I feel about the whole thing. I am, you know, really kind of like, is it fair? Is it, you know, like, thinking a lot about it. And I'm going into a tangent, so apologies. But Kyle Courtney hosts the Harvard's has a fair use blog for on Harvard's system. And, you know, every year he asks folks to write something about fair use. And I was just, like, kind of struggling with what I wanted to write about and decided, okay, I'm going to write about this case, but kind of not really. So writing about something that's real tangential again, and it's about the use of likeness. So it's basically about prints. It's about subjects of photos and their people's ability to say yes to certain things happening with images that, you know, contain their likeness. And then I'm going to find a way to loop that back around to fair use at some point tonight while I'm, you know, finishing it up and crying, you know, as you do as a procrastinator. but I just, you know, I've just been thinking a lot about that, about the use of his likeness and how this is it's the center of the dispute, but he's not really even part of it, much like Vanity Fair. Like, he's not even part of this. I mean, the considerations around him is not really a part of it. You know, I don't know.
Yeah, the part where I saw him come into it the most, frankly, was during the oral argument.
In a weird way.
One where people were joking about whether the Supreme Court justices listened to Prince. Like, what? And then also, because one of the arguments about the transformative nature of the work was that the original photograph was supposed to be vulnerable, right? Mm-hmm.
And it's, that, you know, at the cusp of his stardom, 1981. Yeah.
And that the new photo by Warhol was meant to like be like pop culture and like commercialism and all this. So that was like the transformativeness, arguably.
Right. And that's what, you know, so his side is trying to make that argument of that they needed this photo. They need, because it's an early photo of him, and they needed to use that because, of course, the comment is like, why can't you use anything else or take another photo of him? Or, you know, as Warhol has done in the past, he's taken his own photos and then, you know, done the extra process that he does to things or paid for licenses, which he's also done before. And so they're like, well, why this photo? Because you could have done anything else. And so that was their response, was that it had to be this one because of the reasoning of the original and how it looked and presents.
But I know you're presenting it as this is what they're arguing, but like
the
extent that they made the comparison, I really bought this comparison, which was they made the comparison to this Campbell soup cans, right? And saying like,
yes.
Well, why did he do it of Campbell's soup? He could have done it for Cheerios. He could have done it. It's like, yeah, but he wanted to do that brand because that was the brand that was like the comforting. Mm-hmm. Like you see it and you're like, your kid's sick and you got to buy him like the Campbell's soup. Right. And like,
yeah,
that was what he was going for. And same thing, like he could have gone for another image. He could have gone for another artist, but he didn't want to. This is what he was doing. And like, also, are we seriously going to start telling artists like Warhol which brand they should critique? Like, you know what I mean? Like, it, mm-hmm. I don't know. Like, yeah. I don't want to be in that business.
I don't know. So the thing that's like also, you know, because I've been all over the place with this too, and like listening to a bunch of different commentary about it. And I'm just like, you know, yes, Warhol and Goldsmith, they're both white, but one is a woman, one is a man. And I like thinking about like the dynamics of that, you know, that he feels like he could just take this thing from her. There, you know, that's in there. And then also like, you know, Prince, like I said, he's just there kind of, you know, like he's not, you know, not even getting like the print, like it's print kind of thing. It's just, he's just there, you know, as a black artist, you know? So I don't know. I have like so many things that are circling around in my brain, rattling around maybe in my brain about it.
I like that. I hadn't thought of that point of like the gendered point, and also the fact that like, you know, she really didn't get paid a lot. Right.
Nope. She didn't get paid a lot. And then it's like when she goes to say, hey, what's happening here? There isn't like, okay, maybe there was. I don't know. We don't know about, I don't know that, you know, they didn't offer her something. Maybe they did. But, you know, what we know from like the filings is they came and said, we want the court to tell us that what we did was okay. And I'm just like, I don't know. I'm kind of struggling with that. You know,
but that's where, okay, yes, but that's how every good fair use case happens, isn't it?
It's true, I know. I'm on pins and needles.
It's to, really
like,
hard
know how it's gonna end up, right?
Well,
you know?
I also wonder, and I really, really do wonder this, how it could or would impact libraries at all. And I said this about the Second Circuit opinion where they said, like, you can't change art into art. That's not transformative. And my response to that is, well, you know, libraries aren't really in the business of making art. So, but if they start making new transformative decisions, right, decisions about the purpose and character, that could impact us a lot. So it depends on what they have to say, right? I'm back to, I mean, it depends.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think like the how we sometimes get stuck with transformation is like we think it has to be like a whole new thing. And I think for a lot of the work that we do, you know, obviously not everything, but for a lot of it, it's not transformative. It's like kind of working in the same direction as the original thing. But, you know, we have a smaller audience, or we're only using a portion of it. You know, there are a number of other things that really help us if we don't have that transformative piece of it from the first factor. But yeah, I also don't know how it'll impact us, which I think, you know, is not, we're not alone in that. I think in a lot of the amicus briefs that kind of went around, you know, at least from the library perspective, it was like, we're just concerned. We're not saying which way it should go, but you know,
yeah, it's kind of like do no harm, right? Like do no harm, Supreme Court. Like you can decide what you need to, just leave us out of this.
Yeah, please don't rip fair use apart and make it very against the work that libraries do. So I think, you know, there's definitely, especially with like, you know, this particular Supreme Court, like what are they going to do? You know? And the thing about oral arguments is like, it doesn't give you anything. Like you're just listening and it's interesting and blah, 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 but they're not really showing their hand.
Sometimes they do, but I felt like sometimes. In this case, it was hard to tell. It was very hard to tell.
It was hard to tell. It was hard to, it was hard to tell from these oral arguments though.
Yeah, it'll be super interesting. I mean, no matter what happens, I'll be interested to read the case and to try to understand it and then to like look at the tea leaves and try to see what impact it might have. It will have inevitably some impact. Because
it will.
I mean, look at the Campbell, the last case that we had with Roy Orbison on fair use so long ago. I mean, that has had a massive impact. So
yeah.
I do agree with the first do no harm. Yeah.
Yeah, but you know, I mean, because, you know, Campbell gives us, you know, the articulation of transformation. But, you know, I think it's interesting in that, you know, yes, we go to the Supreme Court, it gives us transformation, but in hip hop, you know, there wasn't, where it should have been like a whole bunch of folks like, oh, okay, so we can sample and like put things in and make cut. And that actually didn't happen, which I think is interesting.
Yes.
Yeah. Cause you would have thought that people, you know, we transformativeness, you know, came out and helped a lot of other industries along, but the music industry and hip hop in particular, where it should have been the case where, okay, now we're looking at this and we can, you know, now rely on and say and talk about, I'm making a comment about this so I can go ahead and sample this. It didn't turn out that way. It went a different tact, which I think is really fascinating.
Yeah. I wonder why that is. Maybe that's a difference in the community.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, for sure. And, you know, maybe one day when I can invent more time, I'll write something about that. I mean, a lot of people have like thought about it and mentioned it. But I really want to know, like, why? Why not? Why didn't, you know?
I think you should do that sooner rather than later for a special issue that's coming up that I might know something about. So, no, I see what you're saying. And, like, I've had conversations with, so a friend of mine is married to a jazz artist. And, like, that's another area where, like, jazz artists, like, they steal from each other all the time. And nobody, like, gets mad about it because it's just part of the culture.
That's the culture of it, right? That's the culture of it. And yeah, I definitely think there's something interesting about it. I think there's something interesting in, you know, now we have, you know, mashup artists. And yeah, some of them definitely license and, you know, they are licensing things, but not all of them. And they're not getting in trouble. So what, you know, is it that we now have like changed how we think about this or what? I don't know.
Well, this has been so fun. And actually, I love the way this conversation went because it was like it just turned many ways as one does. I hope you all enjoyed listening to this podcast. Sandra, thank you so much for joining me for Fair Use Week. It was such a blast. And may all your fair use adventures be risk-free.
Amen. Thank you. So, thank you so much. I really appreciated coming, and I really appreciate talking with you.
All right. Thank you. Bye, everyone.
Bye.